Hello and welcome to Nightlock. This is the podcast dedicated to The Hunger Games by Suzanne Collins. My name is Matt.
And my name is Kira.
And we are your hosts for this podcast. This is our third episode, so today we will be focusing on chapters 4 and 5. Before we begin, again, I do have to say this, that we need to inform you guys that this podcast contains major spoilers about the book. So if you're not finished reading The Hunger Games, please do not listen to this podcast. Even though we do go chapter by chapter, we still do talk about future events that happen in the book.
But it's okay if you haven't read Catching Fire and Mockingjay, because we're not talking about those.
Exactly. So we would also like to apologize that our second episode on iTunes asked for donations and everything. That we were having technical problems with the bandwidth, so that issue will be fixed today.
By the time this episode is up, it will be fixed.
Yes. So downloading our episodes on iTunes will no longer be an issue. And we thank you for your cooperation on that. It was just, we got really upset.
We're still figuring everything out.
We got really upset with that.
We're learning.
So, also, if you guys have noticed, we do have a survey on our website as well as a polls page that we encourage you guys to fill out. We appreciate your feedback on this podcast so we can make it better for all of you. And we also have forums up on the website, so take a look at that as well.
So our website is nightlock.weebly.com.
And, as promised, of the About Your Host page has been completed, so you guys can check that out, as well as my music segment page has been up, which will be constantly updated from the music played during each podcast episode.
And speaking of constantly updated, we have Pan and Post also on the website, so that's the second. It's District 2 Pan and Post on our website, and we also have that in the podcast, so... Here we go. This is our first segment here. Every episode, we will be discussing news about the Hunger Games series, mostly about the movies, since they're currently filming that. Episode 5 is the first episode in September, and that will be a special episode where we only discuss the casting for all main characters. Or actually, not even main characters, like, basically all of the characters that have been cast.
Yep.
So that's going to be a very exciting, fun episode. So our first bit of news is Entertainment Weekly released Men of the Hunger Games... And that was, I got this in the mail, and I was so excited when I got this. It's awesome. The front cover, you see Liam as Gale and Josh as PETA.
And the current pictures of them as those characters have been posted on the website under the cast page.
Yep.
So take a look at that.
And so the pictures, there are a ton of pictures in here. I was happily surprised at how many there were. It includes a shot of Gale and Katniss in the woods together. Peter outside... Peter. I will say that every episode. How much you want to bet? I'm going to say that every episode. So PETA outside the family bakery. And I had to point this out, that if you look really closely... I don't know if you guys have your magazines out right now, like me. But you can see the burned bread in his hand. Part of it is burned. And he's outside of his family bakery. So I think this is definitely the flashback to when Katniss is thinking about how hungry she was. And then how PETA, on purposely... burned the bread, and then his mom was hitting him, and then he gave the bread to Katniss.
I don't know. He looks really old in that picture. He looks older. No, weren't they? They had to be.
Does he have blonde hair in that picture? He does not look like he has blonde hair.
He doesn't know he has brown hair.
That's kind of weird. Okay. Okay. So that's outside his dad's bakery, and Sony has flour all over him, and so I thought it's a cute picture of him. But anyway. and also there's another picture of Gary Ross, Josh Hutcherson, and, Jennifer Lawrence. They're talking between takes, probably discussing the next scene or whatever, so that's kind of an inside thing. And you have people in the background kind of, getting ready for the next scene, I guess. So that was cool. Gale during the reaping, that's, the smallest picture there is, but that's, I thought he looked pretty good in that picture, like, originally when they cast Liam, I wasn't too happy because I've only seen him in one movie, The Last Song, and everything, and I saw it after he was cast, but, I don't know, I think he looks pretty good. Hopefully his acting ability is there. So,
Okay.
So, and is that it for, and then, there's, two pictures, big pictures, full page of, Josh as PETA, and there's one big page, of Gale. So, and of course the front cover, so. Those are cool if you want to take them out of the magazine and post them on your wall.
Which you've done.
Like I have.
You've done that already.
Yeah, so definitely that's, I think that's the most exciting bit of news. But next one is Elizabeth Banks. She's Effie, for people that don't know. While being interviewed, discusses her eyebrowless image. Elizabeth Banks has reported that to play the role of Effie Trinket, her eyebrows were sacrificed. This is a quote from an article, I can't remember which one. Her eyebrows have been bleached to invisibility so she can wear the mask of makeup required for what is sure to be the most watched and scrutinized role of her career, as Effie Trinket in The Hunger Games. So I'm not sure exactly what that entails for her image, kind of all makeup. I don't know. I mean, she's sure to look different.
Well, they have to obviously first dye her hair.
Yeah, pinkish, pink, right? Yeah.
Yeah, it's like a pinkish
color. But it was
color.
A pink wig. So, because remember her, yeah. Her wig is a little, ajar.
It's a pink wig. So, I don't know, but it's going to be interesting to see that.
I think she's the one that I'm most excited to see her image. I mean, I don't know. Like, she's the one that's going to be the most, Cinna, obviously. I hate the actor for Cinna. I mean, he's a good actor, but I don't think he fits for the part. That's the only one that I'm kind of mad about, that I'm not.
Well, we'll see how he looks, and then we'll see how his acting goes in the movie.
I imagine Cinna as very, small, kind of skinny guy. So, I don't know, to have Lenny Kravitz as skinny, he's too muscular, I think, but whatever. we'll get more into detail on our casting episode in September. The last bit of news, obviously there's a lot of news, but we're picking kind of the most exciting stories here. So the first scenes with Woody Harrelson, who is Haymitch, and Lenny Kravitz, who is Cinna, have been shot. According to a local news reporter, Russ Bowen, quote, shot pre-chariot scenes in basement of convention center today, scenes with Kravitz and Harrelson, Hutcherson, and Lawrence. So what scenes do you think this will be exactly? Because I think have we covered these chapters?
No.
Are we're finishing?
We're not there yet.
Pre-chariot scenes, we're covering the chariot thing today. So, I'm thinking this is probably when she's getting, in chapter 5, which we'll be talking about, when she's getting waxed and all that kind of stuff.
Or it could be right before they're going on the chariot and they see each other.
Yeah. Or talking about kind of their plan for what they kind of want to do in the Hunger Games and what they want their image to be like, to have sponsors and everything. That could be it. But so we'll probably get more information on that. And hopefully we'll get some shots of Haymitch and Cinna in the future. Okay, so the next segment is our main segment here. And it is Through the Eyes of Katniss Everdeen. And we analyze the books by chapters, we summarize what happened in the chapter along with interpretation of the characters within the chapter, foreshadowing future events only within the first book, though, and our thoughts, questions, and comments. So, as I messed up on the first episode, so I'm going to keep correcting myself every episode, I'll be doing odd chapters, and Matt will be doing even chapters. So, last episode we discussed chapters 2 and 3, so today we'll continue with 4 and 5. So, take it away, Matt.
Okay, so in chapter 4, we start off with Katniss and Peeta on the train with Haymitch, and Katniss and Peeta, they know that Haymitch doesn't seem to care and isn't much, but they do realize that in the arena he's all that they've got, so they need to help him in every way possible. So they're trying to think, Katniss trying to think that she needs to impress him,
get
on his good side, which Peeta is already doing.
Charismatic boy,
because he's offering to wash him and put him to bed, which is right. Already putting him on the good side of Haymitch.
Has that already happened? I don't remember. Yeah, it has, right? When he threw up on the rug?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
This is actually...
right after?
Katniss says.
That was chapter 3. Okay.
It shows her sense of humor is represented when she states to the reader that the last thing I want to do is strip down Haymitch, wash the vomit off his chest hair, and tuck him into bed. So that's
her... You gotta love her.
That's her little humor coming again, even in this type of situation. She does... What am I talking about? Oh, okay. So, what am I saying? I don't know. What am I saying?
There's a quote here.
Oh, yeah.
By making
the deal with Haymitch might be a small form of revenge. I don't know if I wrote that right. I don't know. I'll have to take a look at that. But,
it's on page 49. Who can get there first?
I don't know. I don't know. What did I say? But page 49. No. Oh, that's it. Okay. I did do it right.
Okay.
She's talking about the Capitol. And she, Katniss originally offered to Peeta to have the Capitol people come and help him.
Right.
Which Peeta refused, and she really disagreed with that because she's thinking, like, having them deal with Haymitch might be a form of revenge for what they've done to the entire district. Just a small form of it.
Right.
And as she's thinking about this, she's also thinking about why Peeta is being so kind and to have Katniss just go to bed instead of dealing with Haymitch. And she says that it's because he's being kind, just as he was kind to give me the bread. And this whole thing with the bread is a constant omen that's in Katniss's
mind.
And
it's a constant reminder to the reader, too. It must mention every chapter, you know.
She mentions it all the time. Why is Peeta being so nice? Why is he trying to do this? And so she finally realizes that she, from this moment on, she wants to have as little as possible to do with the baker's son.
And that's a direct quote.
Which is kind of ironic, because future in the book, she has a lot to do with Peeta.
Right.
So, at this time, she really does not
want I think she's really conflicting feelings between reality and what's about to happen.
Well, she's trying to protect herself. Let alone, she doesn't want to befriend anybody, because, let alone, in the end, only one's going to survive.
She puts her guard up and puts a wall between her and many people, including her mom, you know? Her whole relationship with her mom deteriorated after her dad died, and she took control of the family, and, you know, so.
And, continue on from this, she does mention a book that her mother had given her.
And this is important throughout the series.
But I'm getting there.
Well, you don't know that yet,
no,
so.
No, but,
which is a good thing.
So, it's a book of all the different plants that they are allowed to eat.
Intricate drawings and
things that, but my father added other entries to the books, plants for eating and not healing. And she also said, Prim and I spent the rest of the night poring over those pages. So because of this book, this is why Katniss is so familiar with plants in the arena, which helped her survive in most cases.
Definitely.
When she had no food, she survived off plants and herbs. And then when she met Rue was more familiar with it because of her agricultural
right
parts. But this helped her survive.
Yeah, and also when, I know, reflecting back for previous chapters, I'm not sure if they've said it before, but this has happened in the past, that her dad said, as long as you can find yourself, Katniss, you'll survive, because Katniss
is a food.
There. Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah, as long as you'll find yourself, you'll never starve.
Great minds think alike, right?
Oh, okay. Before we get there, she also said that I check and double check the plants I harvested with my father's pictures. I kept us alive. So right then, she knows what they look like. She knows the texture of the plants. So then she knows
what
plants will help her. Exactly. She's good with these types of skills so that she knows when a situation approaches her, such as being in the arena, she knows what to do. Yeah, again, as long as you'll find yourself, you'll never starve. I spend hours stirring up the pond bed with my toes and sticks, gathering the tubers that floated to the top.
So they're similar to potatoes, right?
Potatoes or turnips, I think.
Yeah, kind of a mix between them.
And so that's originally her name. They're called Katniss.
Right.
So that was her original name. And so she then, after she talks about that, she goes into talking about her mother and how Prim was thrilled to have her back, but I kept watching, waiting for her to disappear on us again. I didn't trust her, and such a small, gnarled place inside me hated her for her weakness, for her neglect, for the months she had put us through. And so Katniss also says that she put up a wall between herself and her mother.
Right, what I'm saying before.
So in case her mother seemed to slip away again, Katniss would not feel that she had to be the
tough one in the family. She had all the responsibility.
And I know we've analyzed this a million times, but this theme has been recurring, Katniss being the parental figure in the family.
Right.
And so she didn't necessarily hate her mother.
No.
She originally said in the Justice Building that she loved her, but she didn't trust her anymore.
And there's so many hard feelings there. Like, her mom is supposed to be doing all this work, not Katniss. She's not supposed to have all this burden on her.
Exactly. And even when Katniss yelled at her mother in Justice Building to take care of Prim, you can't leave us like you did before.
Right.
She's saying that she doesn't trust her and that she really doesn't think that she'll be able to take care of Prim. And she even says, or as she thinks she questions herself about what's it like back home as she's on the train. She asks herself, has her mother already slipped away, leaving the weight of the world on my sister's fragile shoulders? And she,
I love that line. There's something about that line.
I do too. It seems like something that she would think about, like, to have Prim be like that. To not be able to fend for herself, because Prim
can't. And Prim is a lot younger.
Exactly.
Like, Katniss is 16 or 17, and Prim is 12.
12.
12. So, I mean, but again, what age was she when her father died, Katniss?
10.
So, okay, so she did take all the responsibility. I thought it was later, but
no.
Yeah, so she did take all the responsibility at the age Prim is, even younger than her. So
it was just, it's been a long road for her.
Yes.
Until the end of this. And so a lot of this chapter reflects on Katniss, on what it's like back home and what she could be doing. She asked herself, could Gale and I have been eating blackberries only this morning? It seems like a lifetime ago. Like a long dream that's deteriorated into a nightmare.
It's weird to think about. It's been the same day. Like, this is the fourth chapter. It's the same day. All this has happened, and
it's kind of like crazy. It's mind-blowing.
Yeah.
And it's just to her to be with Gale that morning, to stand up for her sister, and then
she just ripped away from her family and her home and everything she knows.
Well, then again, it was her decision to do that.
Yes, but she wasn't going to just let her sister die.
I know.
Okay.
It's a good and thing. And so, you know. And then we have Miss Effie Trinket.
On a happy note,
screaming, up, 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 it's going to be a big, big, big day, as she says every time she wakes up Katniss.
Yes.
And then here's a little humor again in Katniss. She says, I try and imagine for a moment what it must be like inside that woman's head. And eventually she says, nothing comes to mind. Because that mindset of Effie, that just the
I love sarcastic characters. They just keep the book alive.
It makes it funny. And so Effie's just that big ball of energy, that happiness, that sunshine, even though it's not really a happy event.
Yeah, it's a weird situation. Hey, I'm gonna die soon, but it's a big, big happy day.
It's a big, big day. And then again, after this, she goes reflecting back to talking to her mother. About her mother, she said, oh, this is when she was eating and how she ate so much and she tried to be careful that she ate always, all the time. And her mother said, one time my mother told me that I always eat like I'll never see food again. And I said, I won't unless I bring it home. That shut her up. So I think that's funny too. Because
it's not funny. This is tragic.
The way she said it though. She's that shut her up. It's just saying that Katniss will always be in the food home. Her mother, it's not like her mother. Yeah. She's saying, like, mom, it's not like you're going to go out and get the food anyway.
I guess. I don't know. It seems a little harsh.
Well, what else would you expect to say? That's Katniss's personality.
I'd probably do the same thing. Mm-hmm. Probably would have hit someone by now.
And then she goes back to discussing about Haymitch and how she says she really detests Haymitch. And then she thinks about, no wonder the District 12 tributes never stand a chance. But it's not because they're not capable, they're not fit enough, they're not skilled enough.
That's part of it.
Well, mostly.
They're little skinny weaklings.
But also, it's more the fact that they rarely get sponsors, and he's a big part of the reason why, because
He's the one that controls the flow of sponsors, as Katniss mentioned, while she's in the Hunger
because
Games.
Because he's revolting, as Effie would probably think about it. And some of those people expect someone classier than Haymitch to deal with, which is why they rarely sponsor the District 12 people.
Right.
And which is eventually when Haymitch sees that Katniss and Peeta have this fighting chance, he starts to be more supportive of them and help them when it's necessary.
I think he kind of has a weak spot for them. I don't know. Like they're such different people than probably other tributes that he's experienced with before that he probably sees, oh, look, there's hope in this. Like, I should help them, you know? This is what my life is now. This is my destiny.
Okay.
Okay, going a little too far there, okay.
And this one part that really shows Katniss's skill is when Haymitch punches Peeta in the face, liquor?
Does he? I don't remember that.
Yeah, Haymitch punches Peeta in the face.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And then the liquor falls to the floor, and Katniss tells the reader that she drives her knife into the table between Haymitch's hand and the bottle.
Yes, I remember.
Barely missing his fingers. And that really astonishes Haymitch, because he never thought that someone like Katniss would be able to have
kind of like a wake-up call, like, hey.
Exactly. And so he then asks her what else he can do besides drive knives into tables. And so she says that she yanks the knife out of the table, she gets a grip on the blade, and she throws it at the wall across the room. And so it makes it look, and the way the knife goes into the wall, it hits two beams, which make her look better than she actually is.
Right, I remember that part, yeah. It's all coming back to me.
Haymitch eventually makes a deal with Peeta and Katniss, says that don't interfere with my drinking, and then I will help you and keep you alive in the long run.
As best as I can.
Yeah. And so they eventually make the deal, and he leaves the room, which leaves Katniss again thinking to herself as they go into the tunnel through right. the mountains. And then she talks again, tells the breed about the history of the revolution, saying that the mountains was a major factor in the districts losing the war that led my being a tribute today. She says, since the rebels had to scale the mountains, they were easy targets for the capital's air forces. And so, she also says that she hates being enclosed in the stone this way, because they're being in the tunnel and she's far from sunlight. And she says it reminds me of the mines and my father, trapped, unable to reach sunlight, buried forever in darkness.
But he was blown up, right?
Yeah.
Because I remember he was like, yeah, she's like, yeah, my dad, blown up into bits. Like, that was how he was introduced.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, that must be hard for just emotionally, just being kind of like, this is where my dad died, I'm about to die. Maybe not right there, but kind of having that whole feeling.
It reminds her, again, it shows a strong connection between her and her father,
mm-hmm.
which is a big aspect of it. So, then they reach the capital, and Katniss describes that everything is too bright, like too many colors.
It goes from total darkness to total brightness.
She goes, it's too bright for her to take in, and she looks at Peeta, who is waving to the people looking at the train coming in, and he's just smiling. And she eventually realizes that he hasn't accepted his death. He is already fighting hard to stay alive, which also means that Kai Peeta Melek, the boy who gave me the bread, is fighting hard to kill me. And so
is that the last sentence?
That's the last sentence. That's how she leaves off the chapter. So overall, to summarize this chapter, just kind of Katniss reflecting on her life back home.
Yeah.
And I'm trying to figure out Peeta, trying to figure out Haymitch, then at the same time...
Trying to figure out her strategy
to survive in all of this. So it's just, her mind is going a million miles an hour.
Yeah.
Trying to think about everything that's going on in the matter of a day.
That's crazy.
Like, it's...
I just feel bad for her, I don't know.
Well, what can you do?
I mean, it makes a great story, but...
I mean, it wasn't her decision. Yeah. She was forced into this. Everyone's forced into this.
Yeah.
So, now we move on to Miss Kira with Chapter 5.
Chapter 5. Okay, so we start with Katniss being prodded with pruning to make her presentable for the games. She has her own prep team. And, quote, another humorous line, leaving me like a plucked bird ready for roasting. That line, I think, is my favorite for this chapter. It really shows how they're getting her all ready just to die for their own benefit, too. Like, you're killing a bird for your own benefit to eat, kind of similar. So the capital people are described as... What are you doing?
I'm reading. Go ahead. Continue.
Okay, I'll just talk to myself here.
I'm listening.
He's reading the Entertainment Weekly, Men of the Hungry Games magazine.
All right. I'm listening.
Okay. The capital people are described as having weird tattoos and different skin color, along with lipstick and surgically altered body parts and images, and eyeliner. I think that they do separate themselves from looking like people in the districts because they don't want to be kind of associated with them. They're elite. They're above that. They're kind of royalty in their own eyes. And then we have Katniss mentioning how she's thinking of her mother when she realizes her mother's dress she wore during the reaping is left behind. So this also means that the Mockingjay pin is left behind that Madge gave her before she left District 12. But we see later on, kind of, we go back to that, kind of, how she gets the Mockingjay pin back. So Cinna is then introduced, and she describes him as more normal-like than the other capital people, with natural-looking hair color and appearance, aside from his golden eyeliner, which I guess most guys have. So, Matt, attention, what was your first impression of Cinna? Like, what did you think of him?
I thought of him as obviously short, thin, and like so energetic. Like,
a little,
just
not
like,
as energetic as Effie, but sure.
No, like I thought of his team as like the people that are a group that they stick together, and then Cinna's kind of the one that just goes by himself. And he reminds me of like a sort of like a best friend.
Yeah.
In a sense, like a really good best friend.
Like one of those people you meet and you feel like you've been friends for years.
Exactly.
Know?
Even Katniss describes that she holds Cinna's hand and he wraps his arm around her when she's nervous, so he comforts
right.
her. So obviously she feels safe around him.
Yeah. I mean, going back to the whole Lenny Kravitz thing, which I'm not going to, like, blabber on about this for too long, but I don't know, like, I imagine Cinna as this kind of looking kind of weak, but I thought that kind of gave him an edge. Like, he looks weak, but he's so strong on the inside, and that he kind of, he helps Katniss through all this. Like, he's Katniss' solid rock. Like, you'd think, yeah, Peeta's solid rock, but he's trying to kill Katniss. That kind of destroys that bit there. But I don't know. Cinna, like, obviously, I like the brown hair. He's more kind of down to earth than most. And I don't know. I kind of imagine him kind of feminine-ish, just because he's a stylist. Yeah. And so that's, I kind of had that image of him in my head.
And there's no way Lenny Kravitz can act feminine.
Yeah. I don't like it. No. I feel like Lionsgate is just, they cast him because, oh, he's famous, then people are going to go want to see him in the movie. I don't know, I feel like it's just money bit.
Like I said, we can never really see how he is until we see the movie.
That's true. I don't want to completely trash him before I see him. But I don't know, I don't know if there's other people out there like me, but I mean, you're kind of like that, but I'm...
Thanks.
No, wait, what?
What are you saying?
You're kind of like Cinna... No, not... What am I saying? You are on the side that Cinna, like, as Lenny Kravitz, is okay. I'm, like, totally against it. You're in the middle.
Like, I can't judge yet.
Yeah.
Quick to judge.
I am. I don't know.
This book means too much to you.
Yes, I know.
So.
Moving on. Cinna is kind of getting her all ready and, you know, all that pruning her. And then they take a quick lunch break. And she looks at the meal that she's eating, and she dissects it, thinking of how much it would take for her to hunt and gather and trade for a meal like such. So, how long it would take, I think it was, now I can't remember what the meal was. It was like lamb or something. Was that? I feel like it was.
I thought it was her favorite meal.
Was it? Maybe. Maybe it was. But just how many days it would take, and for the capital, just appears in front of them at a push of a button. Didn't they push a button and then it kind of appeared or whatever. So, do you think that most people in the capital appreciate having food on the table every night?
No.
And their family safe, or do they take it for granted?
They don't think about it. It's like a sort of like it's a necessity, but they don't appreciate it.
It's just like, yeah, the air is there and I breathe it kind of thing.
Yeah, it's kind of like if you go to a foreign country and you see, obviously, the children starving children, you think about how lucky you are to have what you have. But I don't think these people think about that. I mean, obviously,
I feel like some
obviously
do.
Obviously, between us and a foreign country is a complete distance. Between the capital and District 12, it's a completely different world, and they're not that far apart.
Right.
It's completely different from where they have modern technology versus they're struggling to survive.
Yeah.
So, these people don't take appreciation of what they have.
I feel like people like Cinna do, though. Like, certain people, small percentage.
Some people, because they realize that the District 11 and 12 are suffering.
Even all the districts, really. I mean, except for some of the career districts.
1, 2, and 3, probably.
Yeah.
But so, some people, obviously, probably like Cinna, takes it, accepts it.
But even him, like, he's never grown up in the districts, I'm guessing, right? He's probably grown up in the capital. So, he probably doesn't, he appreciates it. But I don't think he can appreciate to the extent that Katniss does, because of Katniss' past and how she's grown up and everything. So, I don't know. I think the capital, most people, they kind of have this image of kind of snotty and like brats, and they have everything spoiled. But I think small percentage of them aren't like that. But I mean, that's how Susan Collins kind of shows them. So Cinna has the idea to dress Peeta and Katniss complimentary. Most tributes dress according to the product of their district, which has happened in the past every year. Which usually means that District 12 is dressed in coal or something, and they explain how they would be naked and then have just coal smeared on them, which I thought was, like, trashy. I don't know. Let's just come with something better than that.
It has to be in your theme. Which
right.
Which made me think while reading that, I was like, well, what is Cinna going to come up with?
Right. I was like, well, they have no hope. At this point, I was like, they're going to die, honestly. So Katniss ends up wearing a simple black dress with a cloak, which will be set on fire. And Peeta wears an identical male version of the costume, so probably, like, pant, like,
He wears the cape, too.
Right, he wears the cape, so just minus the dress. So this is amazing and daring costume design. It was all Cinna's idea, along with Portia. Portia?
That's Portia and Octavia and
They kind of helped, but I think Cinna was the kind of brain behind all of it. So Katniss and Peeta are positioned on the chariots together, holding hands, unlike the other tributes, who stand next to each other awkwardly. While Katniss and Peter are presented as a team. So, when you're first reading this book, did you think they'd end up working as a team during the games, or did you think this was all just an image?
I obviously, from the start, I knew Peter liked Katniss.
Right.
Basically because he gave her the bread and everything.
And you could tell that, like, from the beginning?
Yeah. So, obviously, he was more willing to accept, put them as a team. And he, but I don't think Katniss really realized Peter's feelings until, obviously, later on. But I think right now it's good to have them as a team because it shows the people that, okay, they're going to work together.
And they're different than everyone else. It makes them stand out.
So it makes a lot of sense for that. So, and I think about just having them holding hands together shows that they're really close in a sense, even though they don't really know each other. So it makes
they've been in school together, but they haven't exactly been like best friends.
And the audiences always love romance. In anything. So
definitely.
It attracts their attention to see them holding hands. It makes the audience attracted to that bogus couple to see, well, how is this going to develop in the games?
And they already have, Katniss already has the past with the reaping of standing up for her sister, so people are already interested in her. So now it kind of gives Peter the edge that, oh, now they're on fire, they're holding hands, what is up with them? I want to know more. Mm-hmm. So that also kind of sparks the sponsors, and it goes from there.
Yeah.
So Senna sets the cloaks on fire, and headdress. Are they both? They're both wearing the headdress.
Yes.
So just before they roll out, and so he's telling them to hold hands, and so Katniss is glad that Peeta is as solid as a rock during the ride, and he's kind of she's feeding off of him, and just kind of, all right, it's all good, you know, I can get through this one ride, and so. I loved this part. Someone in the crowd throws her a rose, and she catches it and blows a kiss back to everyone, and everyone gestures to catch it. It gave her that charismatic image that Peeta has always had. I think that's kind of one of her shining moments of being charismatic.
I think she starts to accept that, well, if I have this attention, I might as well just get the audience to like me.
And I think she's kind of having fun with it. She's kind of like, you know what, screw the Capitol, I'm just going to have fun, I'm going to die, it's all going to be good.
Well, I think she's just trying to get it while it lasts, maybe if I can get some sponsors.
Yeah. Like
try to be the flirty type of person.
Which kind of, it works for people like Glimmer a little bit more than her, but, you know, she tries. She starts to let go of Peeta's hand after the ride has stopped, but he protests. And so that's kind of, you kind of start to see that, like, Peeta being kind of, I don't want to say protective, because not really in this example protective, but he's kind of, no, like, I want you kind of thing. So that was kind of a small detail that is pointed out. Katniss thinks that it's unfair that they are presented as a team when later they will kill one another. Which, I don't know, I mean, I get where she's coming from, but I think she doesn't see that the long-term thing, that it's okay that they're presented a team because it makes them stand out, like we said before.
No, she doesn't. She sees the long term. She doesn't see the short term.
Oh, well, yeah. That's what I meant to say.
She sees the long term that I'm going to have to kill him in the end, but she doesn't see the short term. We're saying, well, maybe this will give us the advantage.
Some time. Yeah, she's buying herself time.
Yep.
So, warmth spreads through her when Peeta smiles at her, which it's like, all right, here we go. Gale all over again, kind of like, oh, I don't like Peeta. No, he's my enemy.
He's okay. A good hunting partner.
He's my hunting buddy.
It's hard to find good hunting buddies these days.
It's hard to find good, team tributes, right?
Just a cover-up.
So she warns herself that he is planning her death. So, and then she kind of starts to play along, and gives him a kiss on the cheek. So it's all kind of starting to brew here. So do you think that at this point she's starting to like him, but convincing herself otherwise, just like she did with Gale, or am I just ranting?
Right at this point, she's being a kiss up right now. She's trying to like just wow the audience and just make it seem like, okay, if we're going to be...
Is this, when she gives him a kiss on the cheek, this is in front of everyone, this isn't in private. So,
yep, this is in front of everyone.
Yeah.
Because she gets off the chariot, and I think she kisses him.
But also, warmth spreads through her when Peeta smiles at her. The crowd doesn't feel her warmth.
It doesn't mean that she likes him. It just means that she's attracted to him. There's a difference.
Yeah, I know. I know.
So it could just be like, okay, he has a nice smile that's making her blush.
and he's a baker, you know, and he has good muscle. Yeah.
We're done talking.
Yeah, okay. All right, so the ride ends at City Circle and escorts them into the training center, where they will stay until the games begin. So the cameras love District 12's tributes and keep flashing back to them. At this point, my hope is renewed for both Katniss and Peeta. I was like, at the beginning, I was like, oh, they're screwed. And now I'm like, you know what? They could win. One of them could win. It's all going to be good.
One of them, we don't.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
maybe both. Who knows?
So it's just, I think this is it's like a starting point of Katniss's feelings for this.
Yeah.
And how eventually it can develop. She doesn't really understand what the whole aspect of Peeta holding her hand and her kissing him really means.
Yeah. Because
she doesn't see that he really likes her.
She thinks it's all for show.
Yeah.
But again, she has conflicting feelings that it's like, no, I can't like him. I think she kind of mentioned like him like a friend because then, you know, I'm supposed to kill him and that will kind of screw everything up.
It won't hurt as much.
Yeah, so.
So, that sums up for chapter.
So that's through the eyes of Katniss Everdeen.
Chapters 4 and 5.
Yep.
And so,
check it off the list.
Next, we will move on to Matt's Melodious Music, which is every podcast episode, I will play a song by a well-known artist or a Hunger Games fan-made song that connects to the novel based on the chapter of discussion. This week, I have selected a piece which is titled Antique Music Box by Melody Bobber. I would like to thank Joe Garcia for suggesting this piece through our page on Facebook. Remember, anyone can send me a song they would like to hear on Nightluck, and I will usually use it in the next episode, depending on if I can make a strong connection to it.
So, and also, so if you want to send us something, just quick note, nightlockpodcast@gmail.com, or you can go to our website, nightlock.weebly.com, and you can hit contact us through there. So yeah. Either way you want to do it, send us your feedback and everything, too.
So, take a listen to this, and this will be posted on the website after this episode. What is it doing? Hello.
Oh, it's opening it on.
I don't want it to do that.
Okay.
I have it right here.
Alright.
Okay, so, this piece, listening to it doesn't really, first time we listened to it, we thought about, didn't really connect to the Hunger Games, because it didn't have that, like, drive or intense motion to it, but then again, once we were thinking about it, we thought more of, a past experience. We thought about Katniss, because she talks a lot about her father. We thought about Katniss and her father in the woods together, or doing things together. It seemed like a memory that she would have, and the music would be playing for that.
Teaching her to hunt and fish and gather.
And I think this would be a song, maybe, that her father would sing to the mockingjays, and that she would be sitting there listening to him and admiring him.
And then the mockingjays repeating it back. And
yeah. That's, I know it's a pretty short song, but out of that, I got all this from it.
Yeah.
The whole Katniss's connection to her father.
And it kind of has a sad tone to it, so she's kind of looking back and
that's how most memories are of right. a deceased person. You have that upsetting feeling to
and
it.
And they have cast Katniss's father in the movie. So I'm thinking they might have flashbacks.
I think she will.
If they can find an actor that looks like Jennifer Lawrence, which shouldn't be too they hard. Did. But
they casted him, right?
Yeah, they cast him. So there's going to be something in there of him. So maybe it will be something like this. So we can kind of look forward to something.
We'll take a look at that episode 5 when we analyze yeah. the cast. So that was my segment. Make sure you check on the website because that link will be posted there.
Nightlock.weebly.com.
And so take a look at that. And remember, if you have any musical suggestions, anything that you want to hear on the podcast.
And even family music. Like there's some yeah. on YouTube. Like there's really funny one that I want to do that we should do next week if no one sends one in.
All right. So just send them in. I love to hear your feedback. I love to listen to other things that you guys
and
have.
Also write what you think it is, like how it can relate to the Hunger Games, because we'll read what you think too.
Yeah, don't be shy, guys. I like to listen to all this stuff, and I like to have different types of music on it because
yeah, all different kinds of opinions.
Knowing me, if you read my About Your Host, I'm a classical music fan, so most of the times it will probably be a classical piece.
But send us your favorite song or something.
Yeah, I'll try my best to not do that. So, next we
have a new segment.
We decided to take out the
what who said that just for the time being, kind of mix it up.
Well, based on our surveys,
you guys didn't like that too much. Which you know, the quotes from the first couple chapters are kind of like, well, obviously that's Katniss kind of thing. So, if we do find good quotes from chapters that you're like, who said that? Maybe we'll add that in. So.
Our new segment is called Dark Duels, which, Kira, you came up with this, so you can explain it.
Yes, I stole it from MuggleCast. Have to cite my source, right? But it's a little different, because obviously they're not wizards. So, this is where we pick, Matt picks a character and I pick a character. And if they were thrown into the arena together, which one of them would win? Or, like, if they were, in combat in the arena, who would win between them? So, if you want to think about what character you want to do, he has one of mine. So, I'm going to pick Haymitch, and I think he would definitely win, I don't know, wait, who is yours?
Katniss's father.
Okay, alright, that's pretty good. Alright. So, Haymitch versus Katniss's father. We don't know his name, so, Katniss's father. So, I think that Haymitch would win against Katniss's father, because he won the 50th Hunger Games, so that's a pretty big accomplishment. Against all those other tributes to be able to come out the victor. So what's your first piece of argument?
Well, Katniss's father has knowledge of plants, as Katniss does, which can help him in cases.
Live off the land.
And he knows a lot about the land, so he can survive off the land.
Okay.
And he made Katniss's first bow and arrow.
Okay, yeah.
So he's skilled with weaponry. And he knows.
Oh God, I'm gonna lose.
And he knows how to create those things. And even the bow and arrow was made out of sticks.
Yeah.
Things. So he can take easy resources and just make a complete weapon out of it.
Yeah. But also, Haymitch is strong in that he can just kill someone. And he's already screwed up, so he can't really get much more screwed up. So if he would to kill another person, it wouldn't. Like, if Katniss's father killed someone, he would be completely, like, emotionally distraught. But Haymitch is already there, so.
And also, Katniss's father also can connect with the Mockingjays because he's so familiar with them. He can send messages across the arena just as Katniss did with Rue.
That's true. If there are Mockingjays in the arena.
Well, there probably would
be. What if they're in, like, Antarctica or something, and they can't. There's no sticks. There's no plants. What is he going to do?
What about Haymitch? What is he going to do?
Well, he's good at, like, surviving. Like, he could just drink. Because he'd definitely have a drink on him. And he'd just be able to, like, kill him. Just, boom, done. Check it off the list.
No, Kira, that's... No.
That's my new phrase.
No.
He also helped PETA and Katniss survive the 74th Hunger Games, which is another huge accomplishment. He not only got one of his tributes to be a victor, he got two of them.
Well, that
first time in the history.
Well, that wasn't his... That wasn't his doing. It was Katniss and Peeta's idea to eat the Nightlockers.
Through his guidance. They would not have sponsors because of him. They would not have gotten to that point.
Okay. But how does that do with him winning in the arena?
Because he has that guidance and he's older than Katniss's father would be.
Katniss's father is dead.
Yeah. Well, there you go. That's my argument. Pat's father is already dead. He already owned him.
Well, if he came back to life.
Yeah, you know, he's a ghost now, so.
Well, oh my. No, all right, just say.
Well, obviously we can't agree who wins, so why don't you send us your feedback and who wins? We should put another page up, like who, Dark Duels, who won.
Maybe. Yeah, I'll get to that eventually.
Yeah. So yeah, send us an email. Who you think won, and we'll say the results in the next episode, I think. So, I think, have we presented all our arguments? I think that's about it. Rack your brains.
I think that's...
Yeah. Alright. Okay. Okay. Alright, well.
Cool beans. Cool stuff. Alright. So, that is our...
That's episode 3.
For today. All so, right. We will have it up eventually once we get our bandwidth issue fixed. Or what?
Go back to the...
Why?
No, because I have to say this.
Oh, okay.
Okay, so we're going to plug some stuff. So, obviously, because I haven't said it enough, I'm going to say it one more time. Nightlock.weebly.com. You want to spell it out for the mat?
No, they know how to spell.
They know how to spell? All right, well, Weebly is W-E-E-B-L-Y.
I just said they knew how to spell.
No, I know, but that's a weird word. So, nightlock.weebly.com. That's all, like, one word, Nightlock. And also, nightlockpodcast@gmail.com. You can also get that through our website if you hit contact us. It's the last link, or last page. So, and like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, and subscribe us on YouTube and iTunes.
So, we'll get all that fixed. And so, thank you for listening, and we will hopefully sometime soon have the next episode up. Before the school year starts, which is
we're doing two episodes a month. We're trying to do it every 2 weeks, but once the school year starts for us, it's going to be a lot easier because one of us is on vacation, one of us is doing something else. So we're gonna either do the first and third Saturday or second and fourth. We'll figure it out and we'll let you know.
Okay, thank you, and we'll see you next time.